Father, we do come to you in prayer right now by faith. We come by faith believing things that we can't see, but that we have heard from the Word. We come by faith in the Lord Jesus, the one in whom all of your promises are yes and amen. Because of his blood, we will die and not be condemned. And because of his resurrection, we will die and not truly die. And we believe this by faith. Father, we're going to consider a painful part of life this morning. And so we come by faith asking you to perform your spiritual, supernatural, invisible work inside each of us. Indeed, inside of our church, work so that we may reflect your life as God and our life as a people back to you and out into our community. Father, we pray that you would give us grace to take on the burdens that are ours and to know them as blessings, because through them you make us more like Christ, to whom we look, the author and perfecter of our faith, for the joy set before him endured the cross. In his name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Please take a copy of Scriptures, your copy or the one in front of you, and open up to the book of 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 5, we'll read in a moment from verses 3 through 16, and actually just several verses. First Timothy chapter 5, we'll read verses 3 through 4, and then verse 8, and then verse 16, and I'll explain what that's all about in a moment. Scripture says, verse 3, honor widows who are truly widows. But if a widow has children or grandchildren, let them first learn to show godliness to their own household and to make some return to their parents, for this is pleasing in the sight of God. Verse 8, but if anyone does not provide for his relatives, and especially for members of his household, he's denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Verse 16, if any believing woman has relatives who are widows, let her care for them. Let the church not be burdened, so that it may care for those who are truly widows. Well, three times in this letter from the Apostle Paul to young pastor Timothy at Ephesus, Paul presses on Timothy and on the Ephesian readers the majesty and the glory of God. Listen to these words from chapter 1, to the King of ages, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. And from chapter 3, he says that the church is the church of the living God, the pillar and the buttress of truth. And he roots that in a hymn to Christ, who is raised from the dead and glorified and seen. And in chapter 6, he says, he who is blessed and the only sovereign, the King of kings, the Lord of lords, who alone has immortality, who dwells in unapproachable light, whom no one has ever seen or can see. To him be honor and eternal dominion forever. Amen. The immortal God, the eternal God, the King of ages, what makes this God happy? What pleases this King? We'll find out today. It's when his subjects, his people, take care of their aging parents and see to their welfare. Last week, we heard God's word from verses 3 through 16 in a sermon we titled Honoring Widows, right there from verse 3. In the passage, verse 3 through 16 is bookended, and in the middle, you have a reference to those that are truly widows. Paul is helping Timothy and the church understand the need before them and to discern what kinds of needs there are and to properly delegate certain needs to certain parties. In God's plan, he has it that family takes care of family first. It was a sermon on the church's care for widows with application to widowers, to single parents, and others. What we could not miss, though, is Paul's three mentions of the job of the family in the care for their own family member. And part of the church's job is to call the family to her responsibility to care for her own. So today we circle back through the passage, but just making these three stops to concentrate on what was a partial point, but today what is will be our main point, and that is the church's responsibility, excuse me, the family's responsibility to care for their own. Caring for parents and pleasing God. Caring for parents and pleasing God. Some of you hear that title and think, that doesn't have anything to do with me. Parents care for me. Others read it and think, that has everything to do with me right now. You are caring for your parents ongoingly, and maybe your spouse isn't even here because they're at home with one of your parents. But indeed, this passage is for all of us because we are one big family ourselves. Some of us are caring for aging parents now. Many of us will, in due course, care for aging parents. Some of us are aging parents. All of us are brother to sister to many in our congregation who are presently caring for aging parents. And we all need to stare the hard truths of our failing bodies in the face to remember that we need a solution to the problem of death. It's good to stare into our difficulties at times to remember where we're at. We're in a fallen world and Jesus has not returned yet. We all need a Savior that can beat it back. That is death completely. Try as we may, we can hold our parents up, kind of, but their bodies will fail. Jesus's did not. So this is a great benefit of a beautifully age-rich intergenerational church that we have. It's a hard work to know different kinds of people well, but as we pursue it, we find deep wells with water we may not have even known we needed. And we find that we are ourselves the well that someone else needs. How I need to be around those who are caring for their aging parents, for those that are parents under the care of their own children, and how those of you who are caring for aging parents need to be around those who aren't doing that right now. We all need each other. So here's a sermon for the family of God on the family business of caring for parents that the church calls the family to. Short of an hour and a passage of scripture that may change how you spend many of the rest of the years of your life. That's exactly what this passage can do if you're obedient to it. And obedience may look in a variety of ways, but to take it seriously may mean a change of the course of your own life. A sermon rooted in the Bible, but peppered with some reflections from our own members, which I needed to soak in the passage, and which we all need, especially those of us who are not there right now. So let's begin with the unavoidable word, maybe the uncomfortable word, maybe kind of the impolite word, but an honest word, and the kind of word the Lord wants us to say on this subject, and that is the word burden. The burden. That's where we'll start. This is calling it what it is. It is not all that it is. It is not all that it is. But it is a burden. Look at verse 16. If any believing woman has relatives who are widows, let her care for them. Let the church not be burdened. The church should take on burdens. The church does take on burdens. Some burdens belong to the family, and they remain as burdens when they're on the family. The Christian life is filled with burdens, and the care of elderly parents is one of those burdens. And as a caveat here, in this particular verse, he speaks of relatives in verse 16. In this sermon, I'm going to speak, for simplicity's sake, to the specific subject and focus in the passage, and that is the care of parents. But the matter applies to family who need care and for whom we are the next in line. Friends, some of us age better than others, but none of us age well. We all age in the direction of death, and the end of our lives, however long or short, are often a slow avalanche of cascading, embarrassing, costly problems and failures of every kind. It is a burden to grow old. Let's think on this first. The passage speaks of the burden of caring for the aged, but let's think of the burden of growing old from the position of the the aged. It's a burden to lose your physical ability, your ability to walk, to see, to move fast, to move at all. And so many things are connected to this. It's a burden to lose your independence, your license, your bank account, your ability to clothe yourself, your ability to bathe yourself, your ability to run an errand. One couple in our church wrote me this: the hardest part is adjusting to their increasing disability to do what they have always done. We're surprised when we see them struggle with small tasks that they always excelled at, writing checks or keeping up with their own finances or even being able to eat the foods they have always enjoyed in the past. Just a little set of observations with the aged: a loss of physical ability that leads to a loss of independence and many pleasures. It's a burden to lose your mind, our memory, our reasonability, even the knowledge of the people who are closest to us in our own family. It's a burden to lose your family and friends to death, even a spouse, sometimes even your kids. It is as if your life is being deleted before your very eyes, as it seems like much of your history is being erased before you. It's also a burden to lose, in a respect, your future. We spend most of our lives looking forward to things, making plans for things. But in the later years, everything we've looked forward to either happened or is now forgotten or didn't happen. Whatever happened, we never looked forward to our bodies failing. And the closer we get to death, the less earthly future we have to look forward to, which is natural for all those that God has made in his image, to look forward to different seasons. Well, death is no season to look forward to on the earthly horizon. It's a burden to lose a job. What we spent years studying to do, what we spent years doing, what we spent years achieving, the people we did it with, the feeling of being needed. It's a burden to lose a job, vocation. It's a burden to lose influence. We have ideas about all kinds of things, but no one's listening to us anymore, except maybe for a few old friends at McDonald's. I've observed those groups in every town I've been in. And some McDonald's have a whole rack for their mugs. The reality of old age is that there isn't much aging left to do. Hear these words from Ecclesiastes. Remember also your Creator in the days of your youth, before the evil days come, and the years draw near of which you will say, I have no pleasure in them, before the sun and the light and the moon and the stars are darkened and the clouds return after the rain, in the day when the keepers of the house tremble and the strong men are bent, and the grinders cease because they are few, that's the teeth, and those who look through the windows are dimmed. From a human perspective, which is much of our experience, but for our spiritual eyes to see through death and see our Lord, the latter years are hard. They're burdensome. And it helps us in ministering to each other to keep that in mind. There's a burden for those caring for aging parents, of course. Let's focus on that. Different kinds of burdens depending on a whole variety of factors: how direct or indirect the care, how close or far apart, the nature of how your parents are aging. And we should settle the question up front of what kind of quick care is required by the Bible. John Piper, I think, is helpful here. He recounts his own experience. I'll read that for us. He writes, "My father finally needed more care than he could living by himself. He'd been married to my mother, then she died. When he was married another 25 years, then she died. Now he's a widower. Now he can't live alone anymore. He's too forgetful. He can't find his way home in the car anymore. Now I'm 1,000 miles away. He was in Greenville, South Carolina. I'm here in Minneapolis. I have a sister nearby, but none of us is right there. And now Noelle and I discuss what it would mean to have him live with us." And many of you, maybe you've had the same discussion. "We looked where the bathroom is on the first floor. We saw the room was used for a study. We thought, now that could be made into a bedroom. It has immediate access to the bathroom. He wouldn't have to climb any steps. Are we willing? We're willing. So I said to my father, Daddy, we would be happy to have for you to spend your last days with us. But he wouldn't do it. He thought Beverly, my sister, was nearby. There was a nursing home that was operated by the university he graduated from. And he had all these reasons why it was not a good idea to come home and live with his son. I thought, well, okay, that's the way he was. He was not that closely tied, and so he spent his last years in a nursing home. Beverly visited him often, and I got down there as often as I could. As his memory faded, he seemed quite happy in that place. Again, the main issue for Christians, for the Christian child of aging parents, is not the precise circumstances. The main issue is, are we servants or are we selfish? Are we ready to sacrifice and trust God with the joy to meet every need? So let me put it this way in a sentence. What is our responsibility to our aging parents? Our responsibility is to pursue the dignity and their welfare in old age. To pursue their dignity and their welfare in old age, which may mean bringing them in, which may mean managing their affairs while they live alone, which may mean providing, maybe at the right time, the means of other care. It's all for you to figure out, but pursuing the dignity and welfare of our parents in old age. And I should add, at the willingness to take on great cost. Doing so is often burdensome. Well, there isn't always, but there can be a financially burden with this. Financial burden. Money not making while you care, money you're not saving while you care, and money you're not spending because you're spending it on other things. There's a marital burden. If you're married, the stress that this puts on your marriage, I understand and can only imagine, is an incredible force. Greater than having several children, you can put a kid on your hip. You can take them to the store with you. You can leave the house, not always so with an adult parent. And this presents couples with tremendous difficulty, the kind that we rarely fully anticipate or appreciate. There's the physical burden. We were designed to get sleep, and we need it. Perhaps especially as we get older, we can manage when the kids are little. There's the relational burden, your relationship with your parents. They're not necessarily as sunny as they were. It's true that our true character comes out. God can sanctify and does sanctify beautifully us in our older age. But our parents are not always believers. And even if they're believers, they may not have tended to their soul. And so sin has its own peculiar, unrestrained expressions in older age, which can be quite ugly. From one couple in our church, the amount of depression is very disheartening, especially when your mother repeatedly says she doesn't matter anymore. And it's hard to be told how we have failed them. I keep hearing this, by the way. Let that be a warning to all of us as we age and our kids take care of us, if the Lord has granted you children. If you can help yourself, never insist that your children have failed you as they care for you. Let me keep going. It is hard to be told we have failed them, how they never treated their parents like they are being treated. Even when you're trying your best to please, a small word can become a huge disagreement and discouragement. So there's a relationship with your parents is transformed, and that's difficult. Then there's the relationship with everybody else. My brother and colleague said this, living through your parents, you lose sight of other relationships, and those relationships suffer. You lose friends because the need is so great, and before you know it, you're focused on your parent, and other relationships take a hit. Oh, that's true. You're just engrossed in the care of a parent, and slowly the contact points with historic friends dwindle, and then they're just not tracking with you as closely, naturally, because you're occupied, and you lose friendships. Friendships fade. That's a burden. As with all things in the Christian life, every burden is a reminder of sin's curse. And so it's right to call it what it is. It's right to call it a burden. To do otherwise is to pretend that sin and its curse didn't make the world bad. Caring for aging parents and watching a loved one body fail and watching their mind leave them is a reminder of sin's curse. We should stare it in the face, cry because of it, and even be angry at sin and death because of it. It's not some kind of spiritual deficiency in you that you don't like your failing body or the disintegration of your relationships with your mom and dad, or that you're not always happy at church after a hard night with loved ones you're caring for. Come to church burdened, friend. That's what this place is here for. And if you have come to church without a burden, come ready to take a burden, because there are some who are arriving in a very hard place. This is a place where we bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. There is one who carried a burden in order to take ours away. And until then, until his return, when he takes it all away completely, every burden reminds us of sin's curse, and every burden also, thankfully, reminds us of our Savior's cross. We've considered and reflected on the burden of being an aged parent, of aging in general. Not everyone who ages is a parent. Some age in a more lonely place, and they have the church too. We've considered that burden, and we've considered the burden of taking care of aged relatives and parents. Now the blessing. The blessing. I offer to you 5 ways in which the burden of caring for aged family can be a blessing, can be right before the Lord. 5 reasons you need as you prepare to care, or as you presently care in whatever capacity for an aging loved one. 5 reasons you need on hand at your shepherding group when you're praying for someone across the family room who is having difficulty, even if they're not terribly forward about it and they're more reserved, but you can tell it's hard. The blessing. When we care for aging parents, friends, we reflect the very character of God himself. We reflect the character of God. Look at verse 4. But if a widow has children or grandchildren, let them first learn how to show godliness to their own household. How to show godliness to their own household. Showing godliness is not something the animals do. It's something that humans do. It's not something that animals are owed. It's something that humans are owed. Showing godliness is something we have a capacity for because we're made in God's image, and it's something humans are owed because every human, every aging parent is made in the image of God. Earlier this month, from an article, a 200-year-old museum in Rio de Janeiro was hit by a massive fire. Images from television station showed threatening its collection of more than 20 million items. That museum would take a long time to get through and appreciate. 20 million items ranging from archaeological findings to historic memorabilia. The fire broke out after visiting hours and was still raging and appeared to be growing overnight. The museum, which is tied to the Rio de Janeiro Federal University and the education ministry, was founded in 1818. That's an old museum. It houses several landmark collections, including Egyptian artifacts and the oldest human fossil found in Brazil. 20 million artifacts. Friends, more valuable than all of this world's museums, with all of its artifacts, with all of its masterpieces, is even one human being, even one, made in the image of God. And this is why we protect the unborn, and this is why we pursue the dignity and the welfare of our parents in old age. They are artifacts, artistry even, of the very King of Heaven. Godliness is not something we can show apart from knowing God, by the way. Earlier in the book that Paul has written to Timothy, you may remember he said this: "Now we know that the law is good if one uses it lawfully. Understanding this, that the law was not laid down for the just, but the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and sinners, the unholy and profane," first on the list when he gets specific, "for those who strike their fathers and mothers, for murderers, and whatever else is contrary to sound doctrine." How you treat your parents is in accord or contrary to sound doctrine, truth in God, in accordance with the gospel of the glory of the blessed God. with which I've been entrusted, he writes. What is that glorious gospel? It's the good news of Jesus Christ that he came into the world to save sinners, a saying that is trustworthy and deserving of your full acceptance. The good news of God's mercy for sinners to his enemies, to the lawless, and to the ungodly, among whom all of us are counted. And the good news of the King of Ages who looks on how we care for aging parents, and indeed when we care for them and seek their welfare, he smiles. God makes his people new, as one writer put it. Some jobs are just not made for Christians. For obvious reasons, burglary is an occupation totally unsuitable to the Christian. On the other hand, I already liked the paragraph. On the other hand, most legal and decent jobs present opportunities along the way to demonstrate Christian virtues. But caring for an elderly relative is as fitting for the Christian as a glass slipper for Cinderella. Doesn't fit everybody. The shoe fits if you're in Christ. It's a job for you. When God saves us, we no longer use our strength to manipulate or to harm or to strike, but to minister and to help, which means regarding the full dignity of every person, especially the weak, which means, as he says here, showing godliness to our parents. God is the protector of widows and orphans. Friends, care for your aging parents and enjoy the blessing that is the reflection of the character of God in life. When we care for our aging parents, second, we honor God's design. We honor his design and his wisdom. Second part of verse 4, his design for the family. But if a widow has children or grandchildren, let them first learn to show godliness to their own household and to make some return to their parents. In one article in the Daily Telegraph, overseas spoke of the plight of Britain's old people as compared to the elderly in Africa. Consider this. There is, as we all know, a very much better way of looking after the elderly than simply shoveling money in the direction of strangers in the hope that they will look after them. I can think of the most effective social security system ever devised by man or nature. It's a system that still operates in most primitive societies, but one which is on the verge of collapse in modern Britain. I mean, of course, the family. In almost every way, I would much rather live here than in a mud hut village in Africa. But I reckon that the very old in the third world, looked after by their families in communities bustling with life, have a much better time of it than a great many in Britain, sitting in care homes, stinking of urine, watching television, and counting the days and weeks until that rare visit from their young. God has built a beautiful system. And friends, we're the ones who know that it's beautiful. And we're the ones who see the dignity in caring for, in whatever fashion is appropriate and best, our aging parents. It's a good system, but it's an expensive system. You might have caught the headline this last week. Woman says she flushed emotional support hamster down the toilet after airline refused to let it fly. Who caught that headline? I don't think I was in an obscure place. Woman says she flushed an emotional support hamster down the toilet after airline refused to let it fly. You're just embarrassed to raise your hand. This headline opened up an entire world of exploration for me. On the internet, there are emotional support peacocks. I mean, you can take an animal and you can get it certified, and then you can take that thing places. I found an article, 8 Reasons You Should Get an Emotional Support Hamster. While there is no such thing as the perfect emotional support animal, it wrote, hamsters are usually a great choice. These pint-sized pets, they're inexpensive, they're independent, they're super loving, bundles of joy, perfect for easing the symptoms of any ailment. Like, I gotta have one. still not convinced? You soon will be. Here are our 8 reasons why you should get an emotional support hamster. They're cheap to buy. They're cheap to house and feed. They don't take up much room. They're easy to care for. They're a calming presence. How about another one? You can flush them down the toilet if they're too much trouble. They fit in the hole like perfectly. It occurred to me that this is very much a get what you pay for situation. A hamster is a small investment. And for some who feel they need it, I can only hope that they have family. But it provides only a bit of emotional support, and that's it. Children, on the other hand, are no small investment. And if the Lord has blessed you with them, you'll know this. From birthing, to nursing, to changing, to potty training, to feeding, to manners, to keeping them alive every day when they're 2.5 and their head is about the table height, to education, to 1,000 points of advice that changed your life from your parents at every step. For these and 5,000 other reasons, we are commanded to honor our fathers and our mothers. A command that looks a certain way when you're 2. A command that looks a different way, but is still in force when you're 22. And a command that looks a different way still when you're 42. Here's what it looked like when Jesus was 33 on the cross. In John 19, when Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour, the disciple took her to his own home. Jesus didn't do that for every woman. And outside the house by 33, Jesus wasn't outside God's good command to honor father and mother. He did that for his mom. Because even Jesus, in a respect, had a certain debt to his mother that made her his concern even when he was spread thin. But that doesn't mean that aging parents are only on the receiving end. Oh, there's much that we can get from them still, too. And that's part of what it means to be a human being, and that's part of their dignity, and that's part of what we offer them, an occasion to continue giving. Jim and Linda Gala wrote about the burden of one parent's depression, now a blessing. It is a blessing to still have our family with us. Our children get to benefit from the wisdom, the love, and the Christian heritage of their grandparent or great-grandparent. It is good to hear stories from when they were young. However, we have found that the stories lose much connection with the time and place as they age, yet their love never fails. Friends, care for your aging parents and enjoy the blessing that comes with honoring God's design. When we care for our aging parents, third, we please God's heart. We please God's heart. And this one's powerful. Verse 4 again, let them first learn to show godliness to their own household and to make some return to their parents. For this is pleasing in the sight of God. Friends, your care for aging parents is seen. It's seen by the immortal God. It's seen by the King of Ages. It's seen by the Sovereign of the Universe. Our dear sister, Jennifer Walton, shared this with me. She writes, burdens include the times we both clash, when we're both tired and tried by life's difficulties. Dad is going through medical changes that can affect his moods, and it makes it challenging once in a while. Patience and endurance are definitely constantly tested and refined. More often, the burdens are tied with the handling both of your own responsibilities, job, house care, financial, and his financial responsibilities as well. Sometimes the generational gap can be a challenge from time to time, as he is often aware that I did not know the people that were very significant to him when he was younger. Take note of that. That's 2 people who mentioned the distance relationally, generationally can be difficult. She writes, it's hard sometimes to connect perhaps with something he remembers and allow him to be as comfortable to discuss those times as opposed to a family member who could be better relate to this. However, in this burden is also room for a blessing, as he sometimes is more willing to share those times and provides you with insight to what is very important to him. And then here is the blessing of God in her life as she endures difficulty in this season, but knows the Lord smiles on her. She continues, what comes to mind right now is the blessing of knowing you're entrusted by God to complete a work that brings honor and joy to him. It is truly a privilege to reach out and help Dad during a time at his life when he is far more vulnerable. I'm so glad to have the opportunity to know that my efforts to take care of Dad are pleasing the Lord in making sure my dad is provided for and has the security of knowing a family member is there for him. He has also been a blessing as a prayer partner and willing to listen to your concerns and sympathize. It really is also a great blessing to have his company. And so it goes both ways. And God looks on it and he smiles. Friend, your care for your mom and dad is seen by God. And he's pleased with your striving for their care. It pleases his heart to see us dignify our parents. It pleases his heart to see us sacrificially pursue their good. It pleases his heart when we consider them more highly than ourselves. It pleases his heart when we receive a trial in life as from his hand and ultimately for our good. And it pleases his heart when in receiving that trial, we're eager to be conformed to the image of Christ through the faith-purifying pressure of life's difficulties, which is what it is. It feels like it's sucking the life out of you. God may be renewing your life from the inside out. Friends, care for your aging parents and enjoy the blessing that comes with pleasing the very heart of God. When we care for aging parents, fourth, we commend God's gospel. We commend his gospel. Verse 8, if anyone does not provide for his relatives, and especially for members of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. For women, uncared for, it could mean prostitution or starvation. And the unbelievers in the Greco-Roman world had as a default the care of their family. Worse than an unbeliever would be a Christian who leaves a family member in that destitute situation. I take it displays our faith to care for our parents then. It is in accord with the glorious gospel with which we've been entrusted, we read from chapter 1. The gospel of a Savior who himself suffered physically, who was himself lonely, who was himself not thanked, who was himself humiliated, who was himself pressed to the limits, who for the joy set before him endured the shame, and who is himself the author and perfecter of our faith to whom we look. And so in all of our suffering, and even in the trial that it can be of caring, especially up close for aging parents, Jesus sympathizes with our weakness, and he himself knows the breakdown of his own body. The world looks on, but friends, so does your aging parent. Don't forget that you are their last stop before they meet the face of God. There's Joe Allen, and if you don't know Joe Allen, you go ahead and get to know Joe Allen. Make sure you get it done. Joe showed me this week what it looks like to care for a parent and commend the gospel. He's a marvelous brother, an example. Trent, I dreaded having to care for my aging parents. Caring for my aging parents was a bittersweet experience as we met their daily needs and literally watched mom and dad die and pass into eternity. Essentially, Joanne and I had our lives placed on hold for 2 years with the burden of my parents' care. We did not attend church together with the exception of 2 or 3 Sundays as someone had to remain home with one or both of my parents. While in Indiana for 10 months, we had little Christian fellowship. My parents, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren did not know Christ. They criticized us during the process of caring for my parents and during the preparation for moving mom to South Carolina, which include cleaning 43 years of junk from the house and selling the house, which had a huge reverse mortgage. Their relatives were only interested in what they would receive as their inheritance. In addition to this grief, my dad never said thank you for coming and caring for him and mom. Mom said thank you once, but it's because Joanne asked her to. This burden brought blessings into our lives. God answered many prayers, some simply as how to perform maintenance on the riding mower. Their dependence upon us reminded me that I was once dependent upon them for my daily sustenance, and that's how God provided for me. We learned to live a day at a time and wait upon God's direction in the medical care and in the funeral planning. Mom had Alzheimer's, and I essentially lost her in 2013. But I asked her once, "Who was Jesus Christ, Mom?" And she replied, "He saved me from my sin." Then, a week before she passed into glory, I saw a twinkle in her eye as she responded to the nurses and called me her grandpa, like she knew what she was saying. For an instant, Mom was back with us. When she died, my son asked, "Dad, are you sad?" "No, son. We have victory right now." And that is the victory that Joe held out before his parents in their last days. And that is a blessing to deliver. Your job is to look into the eyes of your aging parent and tell them the truth about the healing that is to come when they meet Jesus. Or, friends, the danger that awaits them, grave spiritual danger that awaits them if they refuse to come to him in faith. Joe said, "It's hard to put our life on hold. But finally, instead of thinking my life is on hold, I thought, this is my life. And not from desperation, but in worship, a life of service, a life in service to Jesus Christ." And that's what you're doing in the quiet. That's what you're doing on the hardest day. That's what you're doing on the sleeplessest, when you're not getting any sleep. That's what you're doing. God looks on it. God smiles, and you are in service to the King of Kings. Friends, care for your aging parents and enjoy the blessing of commending the gospel that saved you. Finally, when we care for aging parents, we free up the church. Verse 16, "If any believing woman has relatives who are widows, let her care for them. Let the church not be burdened, so that it may care for those who are truly widows." And here I just point you to last week's sermon, which was the entirety, really, of that point. But what can the church do to support those who are carrying the family? Let's reflect on that question as we think about verse 16. First, comfort one another. Friends, show up. Show up. Jim and Linda Gala again. Visit the elderly is their advice. Our biggest need is to have our parents happy. They have far too little happiness in their last years. We treasure any visits or cards sent to our elderly parents. They thrive on visits. But from the standpoint of the person not in our position, visiting an elderly parent is not often thought of. We're becoming very much aware that there are many in our church who have or have had elderly parents that they care for. Many of those parents aren't in their homes like ours are. But the care burden is not diminished in any way. Our shepherding group were such a tremendous help when Grandma Galusha passed away last year. We were so blessed by how they rallied around our needs. Their prayers are truly felt when times get tough. So comfort one another. Show up. Counsel one another. This is why I've included these anecdotes. In a way, all these little anecdotes are the counsel of your brothers and sisters to you and to me. Sandy offered Christy and I this advice as we were moving here a year and so many months ago. As you think about a house, Trent, consider a mother-in-law suite. He's just setting my horizon out a decade and a half, maybe. Maybe shorter, maybe longer. Oh, that was good to do. If you're Sandy's age, give that kind of advice down the line by a decade or two. Someone's buying a house, say, "Hey, keep this in mind because it's going to occur to you, if it's not now, that this may be a great blessing for you to be able to take care of an aging parent and to have a home to do so." comfort one another, counsel one another, create ways for ministry. Friends, we have multiple nursing homes within a few miles of our own church, and there are brothers and sisters in the Lord who have been put in those nursing homes. Maybe they're from another place and they don't even identify with a local church. They don't have someone to sing with or to hear scripture from. Someone go meet the manager at one of these nursing homes and figure out if there's a service happening on a Sunday afternoon or not. Let's get something going. You go get something going. I'll throw some gas on it. We've got lots of Bible teachers and preachers in this church. I could easily see 3 Sunday afternoon nursing home services held. Well, someone with a guitar and someone with a song and someone with a sermon. We've got a deep deck around here. We could do all kinds of ministry to these lovely, lonely saints that are so close by. If you're interested in starting something along those lines, come to me with your ideas. I'm happy to brainstorm with you and encourage you in it. Then commend one another. Commend one another. That's what Chris Fraley wanted to do for Mark and Priscilla Gilliams this week. And that's what I want to do for those who have come around them during this season, he said. We'll close with this encouragement for how God is at work among us. Very timely opportunity to commend not only Mark and Priscilla, but all our folks that stepped in to serve our Christ and one another. Many in our church family know Mark and Priscilla Gilliams, but may not know their selfless care for Priscilla's mom, Miss Ruth D. Note that the "and" is pronounced with a short O. I should have deleted that before I got up here to write it. Read it. A few years ago, as Miss D began to grow infirm, Mark and Priscilla created a wonderful apartment for her in their basement. There they have been caring for her while she has become increasingly dependent. Over the past few months, Mrs. D has grown more frail and forgetful, and even though both Mark and Priscilla work full-time, they have been faithfully caring for Mrs. D, even though this often means many nights of very little sleep. Truly, they were being pushed to their physical and emotional limits. But the two shepherding groups have come alongside Mark and Priscilla to provide meals and times of sitting with Mrs. D, and even on many occasions staying with her all night so that Priscilla can catch up on much-needed rest and get chores done. This past week, Mrs. D was moved to a shepherd's care assisted living 2 weeks ago, which was very difficult and much prayed over decision. Priscilla's tender care of her precious mom is an excellent testimony of how to care for widows. Even though her mom is now in a care facility, Priscilla will be there to see her daily. The two shepherding groups will continue to be ready to help in any way they can. And he concludes, I have been blessed to observe the love and the care that Mark and Priscilla have shown to Mrs. D and to see the expression of love carried out by our shepherding group. What a testimony of love and action. And friends, that kind of commendation is really encouraging for all of us to hear because it pulls us into that kind of sacrificial service. It highlights for us what God is smiling on. So let's do it. As we see one another serving tirelessly and losing sleep and care for a spouse who is aging, for a loved one, a relative who is under our care who is aging, let us speak words of affirmation to them and to one another about what God is doing and how God is smiling. I think we're good at this. So many of you are so busy with this kind of care. Keep it up, friends. God sees it. He sees it. The immortal God sees it. The sovereign King of the universe sees it. The King of ages sees your care for your aging and dying parent. I pray they know him. And with your service, he's pleased. He carries our burdens and he gives us his blessing. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for all that your word speaks to us. We thank you for the reminders we have had in this here letter from Paul to Timothy about the critical importance of sound doctrine, about the critical importance of qualified biblical leaders for the local church, the local church, which is in big trouble if her leaders are manipulative and domineering and not gentle and not sound and not able to teach. We thank you for the critical instruction in the importance of the centrality of the word in the life of the church. And Father, we give you thanks for this critical instruction for how the church is to care in very specific ways for her most vulnerable and her most needy. And this morning, for how families take care of their own. Father, as some of us are considering what these passages mean for us, and maybe that's terribly intimidating, will you help us to discern what is best, to apply this passage in wisdom to our circumstances, to ask the right questions, and to be willing to sacrificially love those that you have entrusted to us, even our parents. It's in Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen.